Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, October 22nd, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
My name is Addison DeWitt. My native habitat is the theater. In it, I toil not, neither do I spin. I am a critic and commentator.
Well, that's all fascinating. But this is my show, and I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. The brilliant French artist, illustrator, craftsman, and comic book maker, Logan Kowalski, returns today for part two of our chat for this, the Erotic Mind Show. I'm so delighted that he has more time to share with us because he is so very interesting. And I was just getting to know him when our time ran out last week. Besides, I simply can't get enough of his sexy French accent. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat, did you?
What can there be to know that you don't know?
Addison, I told you. Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, DrDickSexAdvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 350, and voila! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Again, this week, Logan shares with us another fabulous slideshow of some of his amazing work. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, DrDickSexAdvice.com.
There isn't another like you. There couldn't be.
Why, thanks. For more of Logan and his oh-so-smutty art, be sure to visit him on his site, aptly named LoganPornComics.org. You can buy his work at classcomics.com, and you can find him on Facebook and follow him on Twitter, too. All of these links are included in today's podcast posting.
Love was one thing we were never starved for in the South.
That's good to know, too. So, today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You will surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick Stockroom because it's so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why.
Oh, relax, kid. It's just me and my big mouth.
All right, then. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big, fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. And remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these shows. How great is that? All right, on with the show. Welcome back, Logan, and thank you for joining us for part two of this conversation about you and your artwork for the Erotic Mind series.
Yes, I'm here.
Let's pick up precisely where we left off last week. We were talking about your work as an artist. You call yourself a craftsman or an artisan, and that's fine and dandy with me, and I really like that. And we were also talking about your comic book work. So my next question is, are you seeing any trends in terms of erotic comics? Are they growing in popularity?
I think they started to be more visible with the internet. Internet is a very good tool for that, I think.
Right.
And I will, I have to talk about Class Comics because it's a really important publisher, and now there's a lot of really great creators of comic books, and they sound very, very, very very great comic book artists.
Right.
And I'm very happy because 5 years ago it was not the case. You know, we were I don't know, perhaps 10 artists that were known, you know.
Yes.
and now there are so much great things to see and to read. Yes,
yes.
Of course.
And Class Comics, they really created this renaissance. Yes, I mean they were responsible for collecting the artists together, the comic book makers together, and producing their work and making it available. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I mean that, and this is all the brainchild of Patrick Fillion. Yes.
Patrick Fillion and Robert Fraser.
Yes.
They do a wonderful job. Yes, absolutely.
Gosh. Yes, and thank goodness for that, because it you know, otherwise, you know, we would not have this really rich, exciting opportunity to see all the marvelous comics that are out there.
Oh yes, absolutely, and I'm very proud to be a part of this publisher, because they make gay comic books, but especially erotic gay comic
yes,
books.
Yes, exactly.
And for me, it's very important to make the difference, because I'm really in that particular niche, you know.
Yes.
Well, it's great.
Yes, right. Because there are some really fine non-erotic gay comics.
Yes, of course, and there's a lot of people that make really, really good gay comic books, and
but those can be more mainstream than the erotic variety.
Absolutely.
So it's a good thing that, you know, Class Comics is there to, you know, bring the erotic comics to a wider audience than you could generate on your own, I'm guessing.
Yes, totally.
Gosh, good for them. Good. So how long has your collaboration with Class Comics been going on?
Oh, it's around 5 years.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a long time. In internet years, that's a very long time. So the brilliant Patrick Fillion is a fantastic artist all on his own, and he has authored some of the stories that you have illustrated, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's the Deimos comic book. Yes.
Uh huh. And can you tell us how this collaboration began? Did he contact you, him, that sort of thing?
In the first place, he already have created Deimos and Drone by himself. Deimos,
which
was one of his many characters that he created and he imagined in the early years, and he came to me and he asked me if I wanted to draw Deimos, because he was working on other comic books at that time.
Yes.
And he, I think he knew he knew that I really like the Deimos, and
yes.
And you know, it was like it was very gothic, you know, and
yes.
And I think when he write Deimos, he always thinks about when he write a comic book for an artist. He always think about the artist first, and then he tries to make the perfect comic books for the guy, you know.
Right. So he writes to your talent, yes.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
And it's a dream to work with
him. Oh, gosh, yes. Because, yeah. You know, you and I had a few moments together before our conversation began, and we talked about collaborations, and sometimes they're not so easy.
Sometimes, yes. When I started making comic books, I make mainstream comic books, and the two first comic books I made, it was horrible, you know. It was, for some part, it was my fault. Maybe it was too soon, I don't know, but the connection didn't, you know, it wasn't that. But when I first drawing for Patrick Fillon, it was really a dream. He's a very cool guy. I love him, really.
Really, it sounds like a wonderful collaboration. I was mentioning to you about my collaboration with another guest of mine on this show, David Cantero, who is a Spanish artist, and he and I are collaborating on a children's story. I wrote the story, and he's doing the illustrations. And I know that this could have been very, very difficult, but he and I are working beautifully together, and I'm really proud of that. So good for us all. Good, good, good.
Yes.
So defining erotic art is difficult, since perceptions of both what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture. For example, the depiction of a phallus in some cultures is not erotic, but rather a common symbol of potency and fertility. Do you agree with this assessment, and can you share your thoughts on that?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's right. For example, if you take the origin of the world by Courbet, it was a painting that was sold first for a private collection,
yes.
And it was really sold as something filthy, you know.
Yes.
It was at that time it was not really hot. The man, the painter, was recognized as a master, but that he never the painting was never shown. In the first place, a long time after that, the painting was shown to the public, mm-hmm. and it became a really good piece of art, you know.
Right.
And I think that's the difference between what can be seen as pornography or not.
Yes.
Sometimes the time tell if one thing that was considered like pornography can become a piece of art,
right.
and a piece that was a sign of fertility or somewhat like a statue, you know,
yes.
Can become and it can become something pornographical for another person, you know.
Right. So, do you think that there is a much of a distinction between erotic art and pornography?
It's a difficult question.
It is a very difficult question. That's one of the reasons why I ask it.
Yes.
You do.
I'd like to call myself a pornographic artist.
You do, and you use that even in the title of your website.
Yes.
And so you are embracing this, you know, lots of people shy away from it. Say, "Oh no! My work, you know, even though it's got lots of big penises and whatnot, my work is just erotic. It's not pornographic." But you embrace it. How is that? Why?
Because I believe that pornography can be playful, can be
yes.
joyful, and
yes.
that's why I want to represent.
Yes.
It's not something I want to hide, because that's what I am. It's a part of what I am.
Yes.
It's a part of what I have in mind, you know. And for me, I can make erotic things, you know, and it can happen in my comic books. It can be just a hand pressing your shoulder, you know.
Yes.
The glowing on high, you know, a special drawing of a mouth.
Yes.
It's details, you know. I think erotic, the erotism is in the details, in my drawing, but the whole thing is pornographic.
Right. You know, I embrace that as well. I have a video, or I haven't shot any porn for a long time, but I have a video production company called Daddy O Productions, and we shot gay porn for many years. And so I'm really proud of that too. I think there can be some really life affirming and enriching pornography, and you know, and the people that you know turn up their nose at pornography, I think are snobs basically, because I think not all pornography is bad. I think there's some really wonderful, great artistic pornography, and I think I tried to do some of that, and your work is certainly an example of that too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Very good.
Yes. Well, what I regret in pornography now, I talk about movies especially.
Yes.
It's you merely don't see the faces. You know what I find really erotic in pornography, it's to see the face of a man when he comes. You know.
Yes.
That's a thing you don't really see so often now.
Yeah, and they're you know concentrating on parts and not the whole body. I mean, there's sexual responses, you know, the grimace of an orgasm on the face and curling toes and sex flushes and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, if you don't show that, I mean, and you just show anonymous parts bumping, I mean, that just takes all the eroticism out of it for me.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I think pornography can be erotic too, and that's the part of the erotism.
Right. I love it. Good for you. Thank you very much for that. So, I'm guessing that you do other art besides your erotic or pornographic art. Am I right about that?
Yes, but not that much.
Not that much anymore.
Really, not that much now.
Okay. Good. So, some erotic artists create their art with words, and others with just art or illustrations. You choose to use both words and images in your artwork. So let's talk about your chosen media besides the words. How do you create? What is the media that you use?
I use mainly now Photoshop and a Wacom tablet.
Interesting.
I completely avoid now papers, pens, and brushes. I used to ink with brushes and draw with but now I think I used Photoshop for a very very long time, and mainly before it was only to colorize.
Yes.
But since I have my tablet now, I think it's really a joy to draw directly on my computer.
So you're saying that all of your work is digital?
Absolutely digital.
Right,
yes.
Right. Is it easier than you know pulling out a pen and paper?
It's easier now. It took me approximately 2 months to recover my inking style, you know, with my brush.
Right.
But now I think I got it, and I saved trees, so it's good.
It is good. Yes, it is. It's very good, and you know, absolutely. Because if somebody wanted an image, I mean, they could print it out themselves. It would seem to me, or you could print it out and sign your work and stuff like that. But it's true. A little consciousness about the environment is a helpful thing. It seems to me.
I think it became an important part of the process,
Right.
I think, I came to myself and said, I saved trees, cool.
Yes.
It was not that important years ago, but now I think
it's important part,
yes.
Yes. Can you tell us a little something about your upcoming publications? Maybe give us a hint about storylines?
Yes.
Oh, yay!
Yes. I'm trying to finish the two last issues of Porky, which close the first story arc. After that, I suddenly have to make Deimos number 3.
I see.
And I've got a lot of projects for the next year.
Right. You know, one of the things that I find most exciting about your work is that your characters reflect a lot of different body types and ages. I'm guessing that you do that because you find all kinds of men sexy?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes. Because it's funny, because I've talked with a bunch of different artists in this series, and some will only, they have a particular style, and they only, you know, draw youthful, you know, very buff, muscular people, but you are very different along those lines, and I really appreciate that, because you know, there are so many different kinds of gay people out there, gay men out there, and it's always nice to see, you know, older men reflected, and, you know, chubby men, and, you know, it's great. Good for you.
Yes, yes. I think some people may have what I call the Tom O'Fallon syndrome.
Yes, yes.
Perhaps the reason why I draw different kind of men is because I make comic books. And, you know, you have to have different characters. If all the characters look the same, you can make perhaps interesting stories.
Right. It's so true. Because the storyline for Porky's, for example, is different than your other storylines, because the characters are so different.
Yes, and I really wanted to have a character like Porky as a main character.
Right.
Because I find him sexy.
Yes.
And I wanted to make the people find him sexy too, even if they were not necessarily in this kind of man, you know.
Yes.
It was a challenge for me to make a character that doesn't seem sexy for most of the people, look sexy finally.
Yes, thank you. As an older man myself, I was so glad to see that some of your characters are older men, and it's wonderful. Thank you for that. Good. Is it possible for you as an artist to eroticize something that you don't personally find sexy?
Well, perhaps I can find something sexy after I draw it, you know?
I see, right. But so you're investing that. You are infusing your sexual interest into something that may not be originally sexy to you.
Yes, but it has to be a cerebral process first, I think.
Right.
It will not come so naturally, I think.
I see. Yes.
But perhaps, yes. I never try. I don't remember if I try something like that, you know. Well, I can make a girl... I can draw a girl sexy, even if I don't like particularly the woman body, you know?
Right. Exactly that. Interesting. So, do you believe that erotica is directly related to our sexuality?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
For the one who drew, yes.
Right, exactly. Yes. Right. And there are obvious erotic triggers, such as fetish wear, corsets, jock straps, leather gear, breast nipples, penises, vaginas, languid poses, etc. Do you think you can sexualize the blatantly unerotic, like nature and food and everyday clothing?
Perhaps, yes.
Yes, I would guess so. Yes, you certainly can. Are there Are there topics that you gravitate toward and topics that you avoid?
Yes, absolutely. There are some topics that I absolutely avoid. Yes.
Uh-huh. Can you give me an example of something that you would not illustrate?
I'm not into scatology, so I never feel the urge, you know, to draw something scatologic.
I see. Got it. Right. Okay.
I'm absolutely not judging, because I was working for Projects, which is a magazine of hard sexualities, and I met really different kind of people, you know, in the hard scene, And it was really cool because I discovered really different type of sexualities at that time.
Right.
I think it opens my mind.
Yes.
But still scatology is something I don't like to draw.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And something I think difficult to draw, it's the transgenre, you know.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I like to draw manly men and very feminine women, you know.
Yes.
But I'm not very into the I don't know what to say in, how I can say that in English. In France, it's the mélange of genre. It's the you know the mix of a genre.
Right. Genre. The mixed genre. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. I got it. So, what do you look for in the erotic art of others?
Something I can do myself.
Ah. That's very interesting.
And there's a lot of things I can draw myself. So I love really a lot of different artists that I found really really great.
Right.
And yes, things that surprise me, you know,
yes. Right,
things
right.
that I've never done myself. That's what I try to find in other artists' work.
Right. Who are your inspirations or your sexual heroes, if you have any?
Oh, I don't think I have sexual heroes.
Okay.
None that I can remember of. But for the inspiration, if you got 2 hours or more, I can tell you. But I don't know. For the storytelling, I can say Brian Azzarello in comic books. I can say... it's difficult. David Lynch. There are some people in music, some people in literature, some people
right.
in
right.
A lot of people.
Okay, good. Do you have any advice for the novice erotic artist?
Work right. really hard.
Ah, good.
That's the main thing, you know.
Yes.
You have to really work hard to see your style change
yes.
from time to time,
right.
you know, from day to day,
right.
And it's the most and for the comic book artist, I think the really important thing is to read a lot of different comic books.
Right.
You know, just the comic books you like, but very different styles of,
yes.
of storytelling of.
Yeah.
Of drawing, because it will
expand.
Yes, expand your own style,
very
and it's
cool.
very important.
Yeah, and because you can get very stagnant. It would seem to me that you know you
absolutely,
keep
absolutely
doing the same thing over and over again.
Oh yes, and sometimes it happens. You know,
yes.
When I draw an erotic or a pornographic illustration, sometimes I ask myself, but I do it already, you know.
Yes.
That's something I already do, and I have to change. And it sometimes it's difficult not to make things you always did, you know.
Right, exactly that.
You always have to change your. Well, I don't know how to say that.
Your style.
Your not necessarily the style, but the way you start an illustration, you
right.
know.
Right, right, right.
It's difficult to explain.
Okay, good. Well, with that, sir, our time is up again, and I sure appreciate you taking so much time, with us and sharing your thoughts and your art and your philosophy with us, because we are the richer for the experience. Before we go, could you give us your website address again and walk us around a bit? Tell us what we can find there, and also tell us where we can buy your work.
Yes, absolutely. So my website is loganporncomics.org. And the place where you can buy the comic books is at classcomics.com, which is my publisher website.
Right. Very cool. Very cool. Well, sir, thank you so much again.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, and it's a joy getting to know you, and I hope there will be opportunities to chat again in the future.
Yes, I'd like to.
Good. And until then, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Yes, you'll be welcome.
Thanks, Logan. Be well.
Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
Bye.
What a great show. Huh. Well, that's it for today, Sex fans. Tune in next week, Wednesday, for a new edition of the Sex Education Show with a very special guest. And more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom.
I'm sure you must have things to do in the bathroom, Birdie dear.
I wish you wouldn't call me Birdie dear, at least not in front of all these people. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't? I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site, and remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these shows. How great is that? Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.